You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cool Games, we are going to be joined by Meg Linehan of The Athletic to talk about some of the U.S. women's national team legal issues and all the legal drama.
She's a lawyer now. Also, we are going to be talking a little bit about Ligue 1. We're going to be talking about MLS. We're going to talk about Bundesliga. People trying to restart. Some people just say, nah, cancel the whole thing. That and more on this episode of the Cool Games!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris.
And Allie Krieger. And you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Yeah! All right, we are here. Welcome.
Millie Rock on them while I nearly die.
Okay, that's what I'm going to be doing at your funeral, Alexis.
But you know, it's going to be a closed casket, but every time someone goes up, they have to open it, and I'm going to have a sound machine just go, yeah, baby! Every time.
Okay, we got it. It's in the books. We got it planned. We know how it's going to go.
My poor mother crying. Like, could you just shut it off? We get it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Yeah, this is as lighthearted as it gets. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right, and I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right, we are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever seen.
It's not just that, though. It just so happens to be the gulliest soccer show in the world.
In the world, yeah.
Just we so gully that even when we go to your country and you don't call it soccer, we still call it soccer.
Okay. Culture what? No, yeah. It's soccer here now.
Nah, what you mean? You don't understand me because I'm not speaking Cantonese. Soccer.
So, hello, everybody. Yeah, so we have to, we're excited about today's show and also a little upset, you know what I mean? Because there's been
a lot of... We're excited for our guest. Sorry that this is the reason we have to bring this guest in.
Yes, it would be nice if it was for some better news, but
we
obviously
could just talk bourbon for an hour. I would love it. But no, we got to talk about trash individuals.
No, so obviously the U.S. Women's National Team is very much in the news after the news about the court case and what was struck down, the equal pay argument that they were trying to make. So we brought a guest to help us understand it a little bit more, friend of the show, the authority on U.S. soccer and all law.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Don't be asking questions about her credibility in the law department because we said it's good. She's got a certificate from the Cooligans. Ladies and gentlemen, if you read The Athletic or if you've watched our show or listened to our show, you know exactly who this is. Absolutely one of our favorite guests to have. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, and if you are, why? We're in a quarantine. Pull off to the side, put on a mask, and put your gloved hands together for the one, the only, Meg Linehan, everybody!
Hello, Meg.
Yes, noted lawyer, Meg Linehan, definitely not. Yeah. Literature major or anything like that.
Esquire.
You know what? Yeah. But look, honestly, law is mostly words anyway, so you're good.
It's true. I mean, I will tell you, the advantage that I have from taking a speed reading class at a very informative age, like, that's the key for me.
Okay.
That's right. I just watched infomercials where they showed you how to skim through a page. I didn't order it, but I watched it. Now, Meg, we hate to bring you on the show during these times, right? But, you know, this is sort of what's happening out there. Could you tell us what the hell is wrong with this judge? Do they not read the room?
So I think that for a lot of us covering the case, that there was always going to be the possibility, right, that this did go sideways in a direction that people didn't anticipate. Like, you have public sentiment, obviously, firmly in the players' camp, and then you have the actual matter of the law, which tends to be slightly more conservative anyway. The judge that was presiding over this case, also a George W. Bush appointee, probably didn't exactly help, right? But yeah, I mean, Friday's decision, no one was really super expecting a partial summary judgment, let alone for U.S. soccer. But I mean, fundamentally, the judge looked at what he considers to be the facts of the case, said, well, the women did technically make more and they agreed to this collective bargaining agreement. So here we are. U.S. soccer at least has enough proof to say that this is not necessarily just gender discrimination, right? It doesn't necessarily let them off the hook, but fundamentally, you can point to other reasons beyond just gender and say, that's the reason why we have an unequal pay structure right at the moment. And that's really what the decision kind of summed up in a shorter version is.
Sure. And so I've been trying to, you know, I read the article that you put out on The Athletic and just trying to try to understand exactly how we got to this point and not just based on like Twitter comments, right? The Twitter mentions are ridiculous.
Wait, we were supposed to do other research.
So one sticking point that people would mention, and Megan Rapinoe and Alex Morgan mentioned this on their Good Morning America interview that they did. We're recording this on Monday, May 4th. So that's when, anything could change in that time. But they mentioned that the collective bargaining agreement that they agreed to essentially, what, and people are using the argument like, well, you agreed to this, so why are you complaining now? And Megan Rapinoe did make the point to say that we were not offered the deal that the men were offered. So why is that such a confusing part of the case of like what the CBA was and how they ended up in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's not even necessarily what the CBA was. It's really the CBA negotiations. And there are some documents that are attached to the lawsuit, like notes from the CBA negotiation process and meeting minutes and emails and all this kind of stuff. So we have some of the information, but really, like reporting on this case, there have always been two very different versions of what went down in collective bargaining agreement, with the Federation saying, we offered you this pay for play structure, right, that the men have. Mm-hmm. And the players, the women's national team players, always saying, you really did no such thing. And we don't really know where the truth is right at the moment. It's probably somewhere in the middle. I do think that there's also the context, and I tweeted about this, where the women's national team players have always kind of placed a higher emphasis on security, right? They are relying on their national team contracts as like the biggest part of their income.
Yeah.
So for them, those guarantee contracts are super important, right? So maybe it's not entirely fair to put all of that on the doorstep of U.S. soccer, but that's where they're coming from, of having three professional leagues, right? Two have gone by. We're now into year eight of NWSL. But whereas the men are making money, whether they're playing overseas or in MLS, like that's how they make their money. That's where they get their health insurance, all of that kind of stuff. Whereas for the women's national team players, it's coming from U.S. soccer. So there are two very different sets of priorities that are happening. But in terms of like what got offered or what didn't get offered, or like that's still the part where we don't necessarily have 100% of what happened, right? And we're always going to have, you know, people can be in that room, and as soon as they walk out of the room, someone's got a completely different story than someone else, right? So that's been the really hard part to navigate, of like Megan Rapinoe going on Good Morning America, right, and saying, we never got this offer. They might have gotten some version of that offer. It might have been different. Like that's where the struggle is. And the judge in his decision on Friday kind of lined up with what U.S. soccer's general account of it was.
So even though U.S. soccer sort of has that sort of, chip on its back now, maybe not a chip, but it's got this boulder on its back of some of the comments that had come out about why they feel the women didn't deserve an equal pay. If they're saying that they didn't deserve it, then how can they say, no, they got, in a sense, an equal amount of money? You know what I mean? So it's very confusing for me to understand that.
Right. Yeah, they're really, so U.S. soccer's argument has always been, okay, if you look at the number of games, right, like the women have played more games, but then if you divide up the amount of money per game, I think the math is like $220,000 per game for women's national team players, as opposed to the men being paid $212,000 per game, like total as a team. Mm-hmm. So fundamentally, the women are theoretically making more. And then this was kind of the big story out of last weekend at this point was, okay, well, if the men don't miss out on World Cup qualifying, then how does that change those numbers, right? Like, is the saving grace for U.S. soccer in this lawsuit the fact that the men's national team has underperformed, whereas the women's national team has won two World Cups in that time span, right? So there's that factor. Equal pay has always been kind of a tough, like, it's the simplest concept and it's something that people can really rally around, right? But fundamentally, I think this has always been more about an equal pay structure rather than just straight up equal pay. So when you're looking at it in terms of like, well, did they make the same amount of money in the same time span? Sure. But if you put it in an equal pay structure, would they have made a lot more money? And correct. Then that's where the judge is going, well, you agreed to this collective bargaining agreement and now no take backs, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like you see that 1-2 punch of logic of going, well, okay, they wanted the structure, but they didn't get it. And now they're upset about it. But you agreed to that collective bargaining agreement, which has always been the Federation's strongest thing, which is why when they got into the stuff of the women don't have equal strength or skill, we saw how that went for them. Exactly. And it did not go well.
Right. If you don't know, if for some reason you just turned us on right now, we're talking about how the U.S. women's national team came across the quite possibly the worst judge in history of America who knocked down the equal pay structure. There's so much that can be said about sort of what happens next, right? So obviously, everyone's assuming an appeal is coming, right? Let's say for some reason this doesn't go through, right? And for some reason the U.S. women's national team loses. What possibly could happen next? I mean, you can't really, if you strike, that hurts the NWSL because that's a part of their contract. Would that put enough pressure for a renegotiation? What is the next move?
Yeah, I mean, the fun part of this, too, is that there is a no strike clause in their collective bargaining agreement.
Wow.
So there's a no strike, no lockout clause. So that's like completely off the table to begin with, right? They can't even go to that tool. I do think that, like, let's say best.
What if they
possible,
all just get injured at the same time at home? Everybody got a bacchiotomy.
So I do think that the next thing, right? So we have a new president for U.S. soccer,
yes.
Right? Cindy Parlow-Cohn, who lived through her own version of this when she played for the women's national team. We have a new CEO. They both in their first media call said, we want to talk settlement, right? So I think that there is still a huge potential here for the two parties. Obviously, there's no like getting in a room together right now, but hopefully having some sort of conference call and saying, what really are we trying to do here, right? And especially right now where you have this global pandemic kind of completely changing the situation, it's not that the players are going to give up this fight. Like, I mean, they have said every, like in tweets and on Good Morning America, right? Like we're not done. But I do think that there is some potential here to say, okay, we might have lost a little leverage from this court case, but the public sentiment is still completely on their side. I mean, you have Joe Biden immediately saying, U.S. soccer, I will withhold World Cup funding from you if this doesn't go in a direction that I like. So there's still a lot of public pressure. Ultimately, I don't know if the court case really changes a huge amount for U.S. soccer. I mean, even the fact that their statement on Friday night, there was no celebration, right? There is no like, yes, we've been vindicated in this court of law, right? It was just, we're going to try to work with the team.
Yeah, so it seems like a lose-lose for U.S. soccer.
Exactly. And I think that there are a lot of people within the Federation who understand that. And I think Cindy Parlow-Cohn, who has now been on both sides of this, like you have a potential to walk into this situation and really make something happen, right? And also just really reset that relationship. And when I was on that media call with her, I mean, my question was, how do you fix your relationship with the U.S. Women's National Team? Because it's not just, okay, here's some money. We're going to toss some money at you. And then suddenly everything is magically fixed. Like there are culture issues here at play too. Right. Yeah. And that's a much larger project. And it's also like not nearly as sexy as just like people chanting equal pay in a stadium. Like that's real work that is not attractive to either talk about or cover or all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, ain't nobody chanting spreadsheet. You know, that doesn't happen.
Right.
Up the spreadsheets. I'm curious about Cindy Parlow-Cohn's role now. Obviously, first female U.S. soccer president, played on the U.S. Women's National Team, walking into
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame, yes. Walking into a really, I mean, you know, a shitstorm, really, right? Because right after Carlos Cordero left, and we know the reasons why, just from that terrible legal argument that they were trying to make, what is it? I know you're saying that she can't, even at her position, she can't just throw money at the problem, but is there at least a deeper understanding of what the women's national team is going through? Can she connect more than I mean, I would say the answer is probably yes, that you can connect easier than Cordero could, but is it resonating? Yeah. Is it resonating at all? Do you notice any of that, any kind of improvement?
Yeah. I mean, so we haven't really heard a lot about settlement talks, right? Like, we've heard it from the U.S. soccer side. We haven't necessarily really heard it from the player side. I do think that that process is probably going to speed up at this point, but I think that there absolutely is something to having a former women's national team player, someone who has won a World Cup, right? Like, I think that there is a bond across multiple generations of this team. I mean, you even look at how involved someone like Julie Foudy still is in this situation, yeah, even though she's still media, right? Like, there is a lot of public pressure, even from former members of the team, for U.S. soccer to get this right. And so now I think that we have this sentiment of, you have a chance to get it right. Right? Like, Cindy Parlow-Cohn has a chance to really, like, cement a legacy with one pretty simple decision, which is working with that team to figure out what comes next, right? Yeah. And it's not just money. It's how do we invest in this team in a meaningful way? How do we push this team in a new direction? And how do we actually, like, whether that's negotiating so you get the men's national team and the women's national team at the table at the same time, whether that's actually having men's national team players speaking out directly rather than through their union, right? Like, there is a lot of potential here. The question is, when are we going to see that actually start from potential into action? And yeah, when, you know, again, like, it's the hard sort of behind the scenes work stuff, yeah, where we might not necessarily always have visibility to it, but that culture shift. And that's where she's got. And the other big part of this is she did not want this job, right? She was vice president for a reason, right? She's not out here campaigning to be president. She seemed to want that vice president job. And I mean, she's even kind of admitted, like, this is not necessarily what I asked for, but now presented with this opportunity, I think that there is a lot of potential for
her. In her first media speech, she's like, I want to go back.
Well, look, from the outside in, it feels very much like the women's national team is alarmingly more popular than the men's national team. So if I'm running a business, I'm like, well, this seems to be hot right now. Let me put on my, mm-hmm, a lot more of my energy there. Why isn't that like, the only thing I can think of, right? Cause U.S. soccer makes the argument, you know, the pots for winning the Women's World Cup and the Men's World Cup are not equal. So mm-hmm, they apply it like that trickles down in every asset, right? In every facet. Right. So it just feels like but because they're so successful, why wouldn't you mm-hmm, put more energy there? It almost doesn't make any sense to have this battle to begin with.
Right. I mean, and that's the reason why Carlos Cordero resigned isn't because of public sentiment on behalf of the players. It was because the sponsors spoke up, right? Yeah. Like, you have sponsors ultimately pushing to have their money go to the U.S. women's national team, because that's where, like, this is where we've got that sort of commercial thing now of, we want our money to stand for something,
right?
Right? Like Secret, like Luna, like all of these brands are rallying around the U.S. national team, not just because they are successful on the field, but because of the politics. So like every single conversation I've ever had with someone who's like in marketing or that sort of thing is always just boggled by the fact that U.S. soccer did not just try to make this lawsuit go away as quickly as possible, because ultimately they stood to make so much more money had they quickly aligned with a World Cup winning women's national team, right? Like, How much more profit could have been shared between the two groups had everybody been on the same page? I mean, it's a question that, like, I don't even know how much money was probably left on the table. But that's, I think, where a lot of that pressure can really still be applied. Like, sponsorships, the sponsors who spoke out against that really terrible argument are probably not really going anywhere in terms of, like, demanding some sort of resolution to this and a resolution fast, right? Because now more than ever, they want those investments to actually mean something.
Also, the optics of just siding with something that horrific is not great, you know?
Yeah.
One thing I'm curious about, and just to get your thoughts, just because this is when it comes to soccer and law, it always feels like, oh man, do the people in this courtroom understand soccer to begin with, right? Right? Because when it comes to the fact that the women are yes, earning slightly more, but having to play more games, it feels like from a layman like that. All right, well, they're clearly not paid equally. So is there maybe a hope that who is actually presiding over this case that will actually influence how the result? It just seems so strange that there seems to be a disconnect between what's happening in the courtroom and what's happening in the real world.
And how close is Hope Solo to being a judge? Let's get this thing.
I mean, yeah, you never know. I mean, she did just have twins, so I feel like she's probably slightly busy, but we can just suggest for her to go to law school after this. I mean, I think her court case is now like permanently stayed against U.S. soccer. So, I mean, there is also that potential thing still hanging out where you could get a different result, I guess, question mark. But, you know, I Hope could just, I think, become a judge and then
just like that,
she gets her own TV show. She just does sports law cases.
Oh, Judge like, Hope. Oh, that'd be dope. Hey, yeah. Rhymes.
Go for it.
It's really, yeah, I mean, it feels like the women have kind of just consistently almost been punished for being super good at their jobs, right? Like, that's always been the vibe of this, is that, I mean, even on the stuff where the judge found that the lawsuit could continue, right? Which is really travel conditions and like support staff. So there was a third part of that same chunk of the request that was about surfaces.
Yeah.
And the justification that the judge found for that was, well, it's not gender-based because U.S. soccer said that it wasn't just like the men or the women when they would decide who got a grass surface laid over turf or not. There is also the consideration of, is it worth the money to put grass over turf? And they never found that it was worth the investment for the women's national team games, right? So it's almost this circular logic of, well, they won't make enough revenue from a women's national team game to justify grass, but then you're depressing the value of your own product by playing it on turf, right? Like, so us reading it, it's just kind of like, okay, like fundamentally you take that one step back and where's the revenue being determined by? The same thing that they've been talking about in the rest of this lawsuit.
Right.
And that's where I think a lot of people are very frustrated by this decision ultimately, because you look at it from a common sense point of view and it's just like, okay, of course they've played more games and they might make a little bit more money, but they've won two World Cups and they are crazy popular. Sure, like that math makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting just dynamic in general. I think this case has brought to light a lot of just the discourse. Even if it might be negative, it's at least like somewhat entertaining, or at least it's on people's mind. It puts it into the public consciousness. I'm curious how you feel about how this is all. I think the last couple of years and just the last couple of months, let's say right after the legal argument and Cordero resigning, we were talking about Hope Solo. Didn't she go at like Julie Foudy and accusing her for like voting for Cordero? And then she's like, I didn't have
putting
anything to do.
Blast. Yeah.
Athletes Council. So they're like, everybody's arguing with each other, but it's difficult to know when Hope Solo makes an accusation like that, at a former player, and then it's like, well, who's right? Who's accurate? Right. Where's the facts in all of this?
Yeah. And that's always been, that's the joy, right, of this lawsuit, is that this has always been one of the messiest goddamn things, right? Like, even just trying to compare, like, trying to explain collective bargaining agreements between the men's national team versus the women's national team, like, that's been a year plus of hell for me personally, right? Like, of saying, like, you cannot directly compare them, right? Like, this is a much more complicated situation than people are led to believe. And you know, my nonstop day on Twitter is men just telling me, but the revenue, right? And it's, everything's made up, first of all. But second of all, like, this, the discourse, right? Like, Hope Solo versus Julie Foudy, but you also saw Heather O'Reilly, who was sitting on the Athletes Council, who was one of the players that voted for Carlos Cordero. And she went on Twitter and kind of admitted, like, I wish I had taken a different strategy. And I wish, you know, like, we had done some things differently. And now I kind of wish that U.S. soccer would really shift in a new direction. Like, I think that there has been some grappling in terms of people understanding their own role in U.S. soccer. I mean, my coworker Paul Tenorio spoke to Angela Hughes about this, who was also a former member of the Athletes Council. And she was just like, I was so happy to be in that room that I did not speak my mind. Right. So there's really, like, it's not just the culture stuff, right? Like, governance stuff, again, super messy, not fun to cover, not something that is going to get headlines, like $67 million in damages for the U.S. women's national team, right? Like, that's the stuff where the sausage gets made and no one wants to look at it.
Yeah.
So that's, I want to see sausage get
made, though. I want that to be clear. I love it. It's mostly my YouTube recommendations. I guess I have a couple questions, but I do want to know what is it that can, like, hiring the lobbyists, all these things, every one of these steps has made U.S. soccer look and feel like they're choosing, like they're entrenched and they're purposely choosing to look bad. Now Cindy Parlow-Cohn has a chance, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe, I don't know what could happen next. When is there a possibility that U.S. soccer could sort of save face? Because not everyone that works there wants it this way, right? Like, right. I don't think of U.S. soccer as an evil organization, but if you look at Twitter, they're the worst, you know, because this looks bad and it just continues to look bad, you know? What can happen next? Is there something that can happen that maybe could change the course of all of this?
Yeah, and I think, like, even to that point, when you look at U.S. soccer's track record for women's soccer, and this has been a point that they've tried to hammer home, right? They do more than anyone else in the world. Undisputed, right? And the players have said that from minute one. The problem is the way that we frame that and the way that the Federation has framed that is kind of in this weird paternalistic, like, why aren't you more grateful?
Yeah.
And I think that that's kind of like, that tone needs to get erased. Like, that's step number one, is like, your record stands for itself. And I understand that it might be getting lost in the shuffle right now, but like, truly, your record stands for itself. The Federation has supported the NWSL. The NWSL would not exist without U.S. soccer right now. Right. And that's a fact, right? Like, no one is debating that. But it gets lost in the shuffle, because then you're telling a lobbyist, hey, please go talk to Democratic presidential candidates and say, like, hey, NWSL wouldn't exist if it wasn't for us.
Yeah.
Why aren't these women more grateful? Like, tell them to shut up and go away. That's like, right?
It's like my mother on my birthday texted me and said, you should congratulate me because I pushed you out. And I was like, well, that's disgusting, Ma. You know, and nobody wants to think about that. You know, it's the same thing. It's like, that's not the viewpoint we should be going with here.
Right.
Exactly.
So I think, like, U.S. soccer needs credit, right? And I don't want that to get lost. Like, again, it's a messy situation where they've done a lot of good. They could potentially be bidding to host the 2027 World Cup, assuming the 2023 World Cup even happens at this rate, like, God only knows. But, like, they do a lot for the sport. And I think that there is a huge potential for them to be a real pressure point for FIFA, right? In terms of increasing prize money and all that kind of stuff. So, like, the potential is really limitless for U.S. soccer. The question is, how do you kind of maybe set aside some of the egos who have been involved previously? Okay. And some of them are already gone, right? Like, Carlos Cordero is now gone. Sunil Gulati is now gone. And, like, that's not to say that they didn't do good things, but I think that you have a chance to kind of at least reset the tone that is now going to be, like, the baseline of conversation and say, what could we actually achieve together as a team and a federation? What could we do for the sport? Like, what could we do for equality together? And I mean, it's in their mission statement, right? That they want to be the premier sport of America. Like, fundamentally, I think there are much larger concerns than just this team fighting their own federation. And I think that's always been the point of, like, the fact that we have to fight our own federation for this stuff that should just be basic.
Yeah.
So there is, again, like I personally try to be more optimistic about this. I think that if they actually like sit down and start talking, that that potential can be realized. Like I do firmly believe like there is a best case outcome to all of this that could still happen.
Ooh, okay.
But the question is, can you get those people to talk to each other on the phone and set aside? You've got a lot of stuff to set aside now on of both course. Sides.
Yeah. All right. So. All right. Well, okay, Meg, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, make sure, especially follow Meg Linehan on Twitter at It's Meg Linehan and read her articles on The Athletic for any updates on this stuff, because I'm sure you'll be on top of it and posting
and
a
dude,
lot of
dude, stop yeah. tagging her with your messy ass comments.
We'll be back with more Cooligans after the break.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. I just want to bring you with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you, and maybe even Allie Krieger.
Correct. Yes, Gully Squad has been litter than ever.
Oh, wow. It was wild litty. In fact, some of us, people came in and said, hey, we heard you were having a party. You're going to get a ticket because of coronavirus. I said, no. It's just Gully Squad. They said, all right, well, then please continue. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Okay. And then I tipped my cap to the officer. Gully Squad has been, again, especially during this quarantine, we've spoken about how it is more than just just getting some extra content. It is becoming a very much a full-fledged community of people sharing ideas, sharing stories of comedy, everything. So yes, you may have heard recently we did the first Gully Squad happy hour, and that wasn't even us. That was just the Gully Squad members putting that together. Shout out to Peter Garcia who had the idea initially, and
he wanted to get drunk with other members and let's go, you know.
Yeah,
and let me
yeah.
tell you something. I think it started around what, 6 p.m. It started at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
I logged back in at like 11:30 and it was still happening,
dude. Bro, that's how we do it. Gully Squad, bro.
Gully Squad. It ain't called Softy Squad, my guy.
Okay.
Also, I mean, how did you know my nickname in high school?
Yeah, that's the Mr. Softy truck subscriber service.
Actually, I got it after prom. It was first time drinking whiskey. It was a lot.
Yeah, I hate that it stuck. I'll be honest. Yeah. No, but if you wanna, yes, the Gully Squad happy hour was unbelievable, and we had a special guest join us, Allie Krieger of the Orlando Pride and the U.S. Women's National Team, two-time World Cup champion, just hopping in Zoom calls.
Hey, with us. Christian, how many other podcast fan group Zoom happy hours do you think two-time World Cup winners be hopping into, or someone on the cover of People magazine?
I can't look. I'm rifling through all my paperwork. You here, right?
Okay.
I'm trying to get through it. I honestly cannot find anything. I have the records.
I'm trying to add it up right now, and you can hear my calculator with the page. With the paper, you can hear it going. There it is, and look, it says zero. Like the number is zero, so you can stop rifling through all your paperwork with your what are the printer with the that all the paper was like court,
the
like
dot attached? Matrix. Yes. Dot matrix.
Yes, your dot matrix paper. You can stop looking at it, dude.
No, but I can't let it go.
No, keep it for sure. Keep it because you need the records for 7 years for tax reasons. But what I'm saying is you can stop rifling through it for this.
Oh, okay. We'll get through this break then.
Yeah.
Look, that those are some of the things that are possible if you join Gully Squad. There's a lot of fun. Not only is just cool content, but fun surprises like that. And we are actively trying to, make it more than just just sending you an extra 20 minutes of a podcast a week or a month or whatever. We're trying to like offer Gully Squad members a genuinely fun experience. Similarly to what we get to have, we're trying to put out something really, really fun and cool. And it's
all the stuff we would have wanted when we were just soccer fans and didn't have a podcast or a TV show.
Totally.
This is what I would have loved to have been hanging out on some, conference call or something like that. And all of a sudden a two-time World Cup winner just hops on from, her backyard just hanging out.
Sure. It would have been nice if Ronaldinho would have called from prison.
From prison, dude. Imagine we were his only phone call. Yo, how lit is that, dude? He's like, so, yo, I ain't even trying to get out, dog. I just want to say what's good. I just made this phone call to say what's good.
I don't need to talk to no lawyers. Get the Gully Squad on the phone.
Ew, dog. What are my lawyers going to do? I did this shit. You know?
All right. So please join Gully Squad. Go to soccercooligans.com and hit the join Gully Squad button. I promise you it is as fun as these breaks. We have a good time with it. And you'll have unique experiences and really cool things. And you'll help the show grow. So please do that. Soccercooligans.com and click on join Gully Squad. All right, welcome back. And thank you again, Meg Linehan, for joining us. And one thing that Meg did mention was the tweet from Joe Biden. So Joe Biden, if you were not aware, he did tweet in support of the U.S. Women's National Team. But, I mean, not only did he show support, but he out here making threats as well.
He was like, yo, wouldn't it be bad if your knees all of a sudden had a bat against them? It's essentially what he said.
Yeah, you know, you hate to see it.
I don't.
Joe Biden, you're seeing the tweet right now. He basically said to the U.S. Women's National Team, don't give up this fight. It's not over yet. And he goes, to U.S. soccer. He added him, too, directly. Yo. He's like, I want to make sure you see this in your mentions.
He was like, could everybody just calm down? I want to make sure they all hear me real quick.
He goes, equal pay now or else when I'm president, you can go elsewhere for World Cup funding.
Wow.
Obviously, the 2026 World Cup will be in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, with the majority of the games being in the United States, and he's already saying like, nope, you better fix this, or
he's like,
you
know, maybe the supplies don't make it, you know.
So look, this is as much as and maybe people may not agree with me on this, but as much as I appreciate the sentiment, of course, to show the support for the U.S. Women's National Team, this feels a little too much quid pro quo, kind of like, yo, this money ain't gonna be here if you're not gonna do what I say.
I completely disagree. This
that's
is
fine.
It's about equal pay. I mean, it's saying, hey, do the right thing or else I'm not gonna do the right thing. I mean, that's yes. The kind of president I want. But I got to be honest with you. Loose
fine.
Threats. But like for
not,
good.
I completely, if he would have just said equal pay now, I completely understand. And I'm not saying this is the worst thing in the world that he's ever done.
No, but also you can't help fund something that isn't providing equal pay. So I think in the end, if you really look at it that way, it was written in a way to get a little bit more buzz for sure.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, it's like, I can't be supporting the government shouldn't be paying for something that's supporting something that doesn't have equal pay attached to it. That's how I view it.
I completely understand that sentiment. I think it is the theater of it, of like, you know, tweeting right at U.S. soccer when frankly, I don't believe that. That Joe Biden really understands this case. I'll understand soccer or watch a soccer.
That's
I could be
not
wrong.
True. He was on,
I could be wrong.
He was on a Instagram Live with Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird.
Right.
So it seems from that he has learned of the case. And I stand to believe he seems to know exactly what's going on.
He knows every single thing about it. He was on top
you
of the
case. You don't
know.
Maybe he's been like, you know, Manchester United till he dies. You don't know nothing about Joe Biden over here.
Right? Just Joe Biden's a red devil? Okay.
Yeah, in hard scrabble Scranton, Pennsylvania, look, just waking up early to watch Arsenal matches.
Yeah.
You don't know about Joe Biden.
Look, I think there's, with the evidence that we have in front of us, I think it's 100% fair to fight the case and make the case for equal pay without the threat of the funding for the World Cup.
Well, Christian, look, it's obvious that you hate women, okay? That's what I've learned from
okay,
this.
Clearly, yes, I'm glad we sorted that out.
Right, speaking of knowing all the facts. No, I think, look, to your point, yeah, it's like, fine, I get it. Maybe presidential candidates
It's Trumpy. It's Trumpy. That's my issue.
Yeah, but could you imagine if there was a Trump that trumped for good? We'd all love him. It's like when the bad guy, like the bad player, like the guy who like gets it with like Diego Costa joins our Everton. You love Diego Costa now. You know what I mean?
I've never had an issue with Diego Costa since day one.
You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah,
when
no,
someone, imagine somebody did all the shit Trump is doing, but for good. No one would have anything to say about it.
maybe not. I mean, it's but it was interesting, and he retweeted Andrew Das of the New York Times, and it look for me, if you shed light on any issues with American soccer, you know, I'm a supporter of that, and I'm a supporter of you. But you know, look, people have their issues with Joe Biden. All right, I was more for Bernie, but whatever. It's not about that. Trust me, it's not about that, but whatever. Nah. I'm not going to get too emotional on television about it. But it is, look, I understand the positive that is coming from it, or what he's trying to do. It's just like, it's a little too, you know, pounding my chest a little. I'm like,
yeah, bro, I'm all for it. Really? I'm happy to see it. It shows passion.
Is it that easy for a president to just be like, I ain't funding the World Cup?
Right? Yeah, if I was president, it's exactly what would happen, bro. I'd be taking money away from anything I don't agree with. You're putting ranch on pizza, your funding is gone.
Okay. All right. The dictator, the ranch dictator, Alexis Guerrero's, will have none of it.
Yeah. I won't win Texas, but I'll get everything else. Okay. You might have seen this, okay? The Ligue 1, the French League, has decided that they were going to award PSG the title and no need to play games. They decided this at the beginning of the season.
Yes, game one. That was sorted out, yeah.
What's the point? I mean, you know, they decided, all jokes aside, they decided not to restart the league. They don't want to put anyone in danger, I'm assuming. There might be a lot of other reasons why. But they're just going to award the season to PSG, which, you know, maybe it's an asterisk, maybe it's not, but they were running away with it. It's almost not even really a competition.
Yeah, well, but people have been asking the same question about, should the Premier League do this exact same thing?
Which was my next point. It's like, yo, Liverpool, has two wins left? You think they're really going to lose everything?
Yeah, so but it's, I would argue even more
because
for the Premier
Everton
League.
Fan.
No, I would argue for the Premier League, it really isn't about the teams at the top. You know, obviously there's still Champions League spots to fight for, but who knows if we'll even have a Champions League next season.
Right.
I think it's more about those. What hurts me more is who's going to get relegated and who's going to get promoted from the championship, because Leeds United is without our homeboy,
Jack Harrison,
playing there and having a great season. And I want him to be a Premier League player next season. That would be absolutely beautiful. That is the story I want to see. And that is a possibility if they cancel the season, that that might not happen.
Yeah, I mean, I doubt they're going to go. Did Paris say they were going to go the way of Liga MX and cancel promotion and relegation for 65 years? just in case.
Yeah. I'm sure they're
trying to be really careful here. You know?
No, man, it is a, you know, every league is trying to figure out a way to come back and start playing games again. It's frustrating for fans because we want to see games real soon. But every country has like its own kind of situation. And it's weird because even for England, if they want to start playing games again, there's going to be this accusation that they are like putting people in danger. You know, we talked about what they want to do in Bundesliga, because that looks like it's going to be the first league to come back. And then all the restrictions and rules and no kissing and not between each other in
that
general
too,
with
actually.
Anybody. That too. Yeah, it's probably also not a good idea given, you know,
six
definitely
feet
breaking
apart in the showers, guys. Come on. 2 meters.
but we at least have some updates for Major League Soccer as far as players training again. We did get news that some teams will now allow players to come into the training ground to do personal workouts, and these are voluntary. So just a baby step towards the possibility of playing again, but
which also seems dangerous to me, because if somebody has it or contracts it on the way there, it's in droplet form. Now, I've only heard rumors of this. I've never experienced it myself. But I think when you work out, you sweat.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So let me explain how this works to you, Alexa.
Right? Now, I think when you sweat, you leave behind, correct me if I'm wrong, droplets. Okay?
Yes. Yes. But is coronavirus shed through your sweat? Is that a, do we know that? I know it's a sneezing and coughing. Is it? I mean, I'm not going to test it. I'm not going to lick somebody's sweat just to confirm.
Well, I mean, there's only one way to find out, Christian. Okay. You brought up a great question. Now get out there and test your theory.
Let us do this.
This is, again, testing a hypothesis now.
Okay. And not from some weird, creepy fetish thing I have. It is.
A-Rod, if you would just allow me to just lick some of the perspiration off of J-Lo. J-Lo's cool with it, I think.
Right? Oh, do you hate, you know, saving lives? Is that what it's about?
Wow, you don't like science, J-Lo?
So, look, at least hearing that there's some progress towards possibly having soccer again in the United States is uplifting and positive. But again, we hear that, and then Pablo, we're like, you know, we're seeing people protesting at the beach, holding hands. Yeah. And it's like, all right, okay, look.
Maybe we all ain't ready for this just yet.
I don't think all 50 states are really prepared or handling this with the utmost kind of urgency. So, you know, look, we all want soccer to come back. Obviously, safety is paramount and the most important thing. So, hopefully, again, we just hope this all ends soon, this nightmare. So, all right, we'll be back with more after this.
Hey, Christian, what's up, man? This is Freddie Adu. Just wanted to wish you a happy birthday, my man. Also, want to give a shout out to your show, The Cooligans. I'll check it out. I heard it's really good. And you never know. Maybe one day I will be a guest on there. You just never know. Hey, man, happy birthday, bro. Peace out.
Happy birthday to me.
Is it was also my birthday. There was no video for me.
Nobody cares. Freddie Adu is only wishing me a happy birthday.
Actually, you're wrong. Let's throw to a clip of Sinbad wishing me happy. No, we don't have one. There's no one. No one's giving me a happy birthday cameo. Damn it.
Yo, this. Thank you. Thank you, Freddie Adu, for doing that. Thank you, Jonathan Morvay, hilarious comedian and writer who got that for me for my birthday.
What a gift, man. Freddie Adu. If you think about American soccer, do you want a message from anybody other than Freddie Adu?
Not at all, man. Nah. That was so cool. And mate, who knows for Freddie Adu looks like. I feel like that was a confirmation. He's going to be a guest on the show.
I count that as that. Legally binding, if you ask me.
Without a doubt, yeah.
I want one of those cameos from like a Sunil Gulati.
is Sunil on cameo?
I would
love to see that.
The things they would request of him to say.
So yes, if you guys were not aware, last week was our birthdays.
That's right. People are still shocked that our birthdays are back to back.
Yeah, it's just like, look, either people seem to forget our birthdays are back to back, or we have like new fans that are like, "What is this? What kind of branding thing is this?"
As if we changed legally our birthdays.
No, my birthday is April 30th. That's Alexis right. is May 1st.
April 31st.
April, yeah, correct.
May 1st.
So we did something really cool. We did because we normally have a party in New York. Cooligans Fest, and we invite friends and our comedy friends, our soccer friends. It's always really fun. We couldn't do that, obviously, so we did a Zoom party with Gully Squad. So our the dope people from Gully Squad, and we invited a bunch of soccer players, personalities. But one thing,
comedy friends. It was great.
Comedy friends, yeah. It was a star-studded lineup. I can't even remember everyone that came through.
I mean,
but we had
Sal Vulcano, Kyle Martino, Edson Buttle, Alexi Lalas, Ellie Menjem, Sam Teague, Total Soccer Show, Jessica Kiros,
Zarek Valentin,
Kayla Knapp.
Jeff Atanella, Bill Tuiloma. It was crazy.
It was crazy.
Yeah, we're ready. We're forgetting
Brad
people.
Matt Stuver,
dude, it was just nuts. Max Brados, everybody.
That's right.
It was so fun. But one highlight was obviously Alexi Lalas. Alexi Lalas coming by and jamming, singing us "Happy Birthday." So
with his acoustic guitar, just pulled it up and started serenading you boys.
Thank you, Alexi, for that. Super cool. But it was one of the most memorable birthdays, without a doubt. Obviously, it was super cool. I think everyone else enjoyed it as well. Gully Squad got the treat of seeing and being able to talk to a lot of these, you know, soccer people.
How crazy is that? Also, he asked me about the wall, the soccer card wall, and I let him know that my wife is begging me to take it down. He sent me a text message afterwards just saying, happy birthday. You guys deserve it. You're great. Also, hot take, I'm on the side of your wife. Take it down. His picture's on here. And he wants the wall down? Alexi, whose side are you on? We practically have the same name.
Yeah, he doesn't. I guess he doesn't like seeing pictures of himself. He's just get it off the wall. I'm tired of it. but yes, thank you for everyone who came through the birthday Gully Squad, everybody. So much fun. It was obviously with the quarantine, and it's difficult to not be depressed all the time.
A 4.5-hour Zoom, and it made our weekends.
All right, we did it again.
Once again, we're so good at this, Christian.
We're so good at this. Also, thank you so much, Meg Linehan of The Athletic, for joining us on the show and giving us a ton
She's
of updates.
She's so good at this.
Yeah. Very much so. So, and also make sure you tune in on Tuesday at 8 p.m. on Fubo Sports, because we are going to be joined by Colorado Rapids forward Kai Kamara.
Oh, yeah. Bands to make a dance.
Okay. We're going to have a great time talking to him. Also, I just want to give a shout out to my girlfriend. Speaking of my birthday, she painted this.
Oh, you see that's awesome.
She made a card. She made a birthday card
and
for me.
And just confirm for everyone who could see this, she is of age, right?
What are you talking about? What a terrible question. It's a great... What a wildly inappropriate joke, Alexis. Yes. Yeah, she
the joke is that it looks like someone young painted it up, but I'm only kidding. It's very beautiful.
Yeah, so shout out to Helene for that. It looks very great. Okay, so everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you follow us on social media, at Soccer Cooligans, at Fubo Sports, on all social media channels. Subscribe to the YouTube channels as well and watch full episodes.
And leave a 5-star review.
And leave a 5-star review on iTunes if you're listening to the podcast. So, yes, I had a good time. Alexis, did you?
Wonderful time.
Okay, good. All right. So with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!